So let's just continue where we stop. Look at Mark's Gospel 16. Let's go into the word. Let's agree and pray. Let's agree and pray. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion. There is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this morning. And we ask and receive that at the end of this meeting, as saints, we are edified. And Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Please go all the way with me to the book of Mark's Gospel 16. Go to the book of Mark. Mark 16. Yeah, look at Mark 16 quickly. So look at verse 15. It says, "And Jesus came and said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now it says, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. For he that believeth not shall be what? Damned, condemned." Right? Now it's very important to take attention or pay attention to that which Jesus is saying here. He says, everyone needs to pay attention to what Jesus is saying, as long as you're a believer. So he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Right? Now, what we're looking around this week, month, and probably into the next month as well, is going to be around the work of ministry, which everyone is called into. Every believer is called into the work of ministry. And every believer has an assignment. You know, like I said to you, and I've said over and over, the instruction to Jesus, the instruction by Jesus to his disciples is by extension an instruction to you as God's or Jesus' disciple, right? So if you are one who is Jesus' disciple, and Jesus' disciples were the ones he was speaking to in Mark 16, it means by default, that instruction as well is to you. So when he says go into all the world and make disciples, it's not for those people alone that Jesus spoke to directly, but by extension, you and I as well, that Jesus is speaking to. So he says, go into the world and preach the gospel. So start looking at who is the evangelist and who the evangelist is. You said the evangelist is someone who brings good tidings, one who preaches the message of the gospel, right? So by default, an evangelist is one who is giving to evangelism. And evangelism implies spreading the message of the gospel, that is, preaching the message of the gospel. Now, we said a lot of times, I grew up, you know, in a world where, I'm growing up in a world where the work of the prophet or the work of evangelist or the work of evangelism is limited to his group of people, where by default, people say things like, I am sent to be a preacher of the message in the marketplace. Right? And how do I preach in the marketplace? By making my goods cheaper. Right? How do I preach? You know, I'm a doctor, but I'm a doctor doing ministry in my hospital. Right? And you ask, what is the ministry you're doing? And you say, I treat my patients kindly. Right? When my patients watch me, you know, I don't even know what happened. You know, so we've come to understand that people have left evangelism for a group of people, right, to be doing. And, you know, by default, you'll find out that not so much work is being done. You see, you find out that, you know, I asked a question a couple of weeks ago, and I said I was going to be asking as much as I remember. Think about your life. In the last 60 days of your life, in the last 100 days of your life, how many people have stopped you to preach the gospel to you? Yeah. Ask yourself the question, the last 365 days of your life, how many people have stopped you randomly to preach the gospel to you? You've been, let's assume you've been in a city like this for about a year. And in a year, you're always out almost every day. And you can say that less than 5% of us will, you know, raise our hands the other day. That's to tell you there's a lot of work that needs to be done and it is not being done. Do you understand? That's to tell you a lot of work needs to be done because Christian is not written on my forehead. Right? I don't think you see me by default. I just start shouting. I don't think so. Right? You know, so, and remember, the gospel is not just supposed to be for, you know, it's the gospel that gets you saved that you grow thereby or you grow with or you grow in. Yeah, that same gospel. So it's very important to know. And I also asked another part of a question that says, how many of you have preached to somebody in the last 60 days? That's group evangelism. How many of you have actually left your house with the intention I'm going to preach to someone today? Well, a lot of us have the excuse that we don't know how to start conversations. We don't know where to start from. That's why I'm here for you today. Up of Jesus. That's why I'm here for you today. After this series, you see, this series, I'm doing it this month, next month, right? When I was trying to revise my note for today, I put myself on the evangelism field and wrote everything in my head out. So I'll give you, so you don't have any excuse. Pastor, I don't know how to stop. I don't know how to start conversation. I don't know what to say. You know, there's some people that make money by looking at people or by stopping people on the road. That's how they earn a living. By stopping people on the road. You know, a lot of times you ask that person who is good at stopping people on the road to stop people for the gospel, they will complain. You know why? Because to a very large extent, we don't place premium on that which God has called us to do. We don't place our attention on that which God has called us to do. So we need to actually keep asking ourselves a question. What has God called you to do? And I will tell you, if you are successful in every area of your life, and you are not successful in that which God has called you to do, is as good as you are not successful at all. I'll give you an example. How many of you in school, for those of us who went to school, and those of us who have an association with school, understand what school is, right? You know, I remember there was one of those courses, you know, I think that science of material or something like that, you know, and that was a ridiculous course, trust me, you know. And because of how voluminous the topic was, you know how you can do selective reading? You want to write an exam, you just think of your lecturer and say, the lecturer cannot ask this question. And you're telling yourself, if the lecturer asks this question, he's a wicked man. Then you use that mindset to justify why you should not read that topic. Blessed be the Lord, God Most High. And I walked into that exam hall. And guess what? The particular one I chose not to read that I said, if he brings out his wicked, was the compulsory question. You know that kind of that moment when you are reading the instruction and you're trying to read the instruction to see if you are missing something. The instruction is saying answer question one and any other three. You are trying to read it to say answer any other three, excluding, or maybe you wanted to have said answer any question except number one. You know, you start reading the instruction like answer question one and any other thing. You know, and question one will now be rigorous. So let's say the entire theory is like 100 marks. They can give 70 marks to question one. Do you understand what it is to have 70 marks in question one you not read for? You know that if you successfully do question two, question three, if you like, see. Look at it. There are five questions. They said answer number one and any other three out of the remaining four. So it means that each of the remaining three will have 10 marks. Okay? You know, you can know the remaining three very well and give the scheme of work back to the lecturer, but you cannot get more than 10 marks per question. Okay? It also means that if you decide to answer the four, do you understand? You can decide to answer the four. I did something in an exam. Thank God I finished school, because I remember I did something at an exam. They asked me a question that was compulsory, and I answered a question I knew that was not compulsory, and I put the number of the question that was compulsory as the number of that question. Do you understand? Yeah, thank God we have gone past that stage. You know, so it's just like they said you answer number one, and I know number five very well, so I answered number five well, and wrote it as number one. Praise be God. You know, so if you eventually know the remaining three questions and you answer the questions very well, what will you score in that exam? See, that's assuming you are not someone who is in a course that, you know, for instance, there's some lecturers who they give you mark per step you show. So if you miss a step, you've missed some marks. Right? You know what some people call almighty formula. Minus B plus or minus square root of B square minus 4 is L over 2. That's the way to come like, no. You know, but you know how, when that's the only thing you know, you want to derive the formula in the exam, just so that your book, let me tell you something, if you are still in school, I can never submit an empty sheet. It's impossible. And I did. It's It's not possible. Anything I read, I'll write it. If it doesn't link to the question, I will write it. I'll write it by faith. Because if angel want to help me, if angel want to help me and give me back, they cannot give me 10 on empty sheets. There is that. So if electoral wants to help you, let him be able to, he will throw 2 here, circle it. Throw 5 here, circle it. I don't know when they add it, you'll get something. But imagine the invigilator, your senior principal of your school, your chancellor sees your exam sheet and it's empty or true. And you are saying to my, you know, the chancellor will not really look. What is the question they ask? What are they answering? Understand it? Just write what you know. You know. So what am I saying? If you successfully pass the 30 questions or the 30 marks, and you fail question one, what do you have? 30. 30 over what? 100. 100. Is that a fail?
Yes.
So you've successfully done 3 questions. To the best of your knowledge, you didn't miss 1 point, but you missed question 1. So it is as good as you've done nothing. If your father sees your result sheet and your scorecard, and say, my son, why did you fail this course? I'm paying school fees. Say, Pat, then dad, I was in class. I attended all the lectures. You see, your father will not remember or will not have a video to check whether you were attending all the lectures or not. It is what is the outcome. And your outcome is 30 over 100. You score 30 or you not score 30? You score 30 over 100. Have you failed? 70 marks is like that as well in the Christian faith. God has called you to do something, and that thing which he has called you is what he will measure you regarding. And that thing is worth 70 marks, for example. Now, 30 marks include you give birth to children. You have, you try to help God fulfill Genesis 1. Right? And God said, let them be fruitful and be multiplying children. It's good. Your career, you've been promoted from a business analyst to lead business analyst. You did well. Right? Every other thing around your life, your wife is sufficient, beautiful. You did well. Yeah? Within 5 years in the organization, you became the CEO. If the CEO saw you walk and said, your work ethic is more than my own. I confirm my authority on you. Yeah? You will celebrate it. But when you do all of that, it is still 30 over what? 100. Are you with me? It is still 30. You see, you cannot live in a world where God has placed you and do everything else than what he has asked you to do. That's like that lecturer. He has given you an exam sheet. He says you must do number 1, 70 marks. You don't now do it. I expect to pass. You see, there's a reward for your work on the earth. I hope you know that. There's a reward for your work on the earth. There are men who you are walking past by or walking by every day. Right? Now, I was saying on Sunday, on Wednesday, right? You've been a Christian for 2 years, for 3 years, for 5 years, for 7 years, for 10 years, for 15 years. And there is not a single person who can say, I became born again because Brother John preached to me. I became born again because Sister Vim preached to me. Or I became born again after Sister Vim preached to me, and the message of Sister Vim was like a seed in my heart that germinated afterwards. You know, so it's very, very important for you to understand what God has called you to do, and also pay attention to that which he has called you to do, because in the real sense, you will end up being like one who is not doing anything on the earth at all. Right? So Jesus says, go into all the world. This is better. Yeah. Okay, so he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but him that believeth not shall not be what? Condemned. So we start looking at what exactly is evangelism and what is not evangelism. We looked at that last week. We said God is doing a work on the earth, and you need to find yourself attached to that work that he is doing on the earth. So last week we started looking at what is not evangelism. We said evangelism is not inviting people to church or inviting people for a special program. Once that's important, that's good. oh, come to my church, come to my church. Yes, that's good, that's okay. But that's not the Great Commission. It can be a part of, it can be something that is that can supplement or add to. But the gospel is something that has to do with a message that has to be preached. We said evangelism is not sharing of tracts, whilst you can share tracts. We said evangelism is not posting a flyer of the church flyer and meetings on social media, whilst you should post your flyers of the church on your social media. Number four, we said evangelism is not the responsibility for a specific people. You say it's a mandate for every believer. We also said evangelism is not sharing tea and coffee. If you share tea and coffee, right, and a man takes your tea and coffee and you don't preach the gospel, you've not done that which is important. Yeah? Yeah, if a non-believer drinks your coffee, he's just a non-believer that drank coffee. Altogether. So tea and coffee is good, but tea and coffee is not evangelism. Altogether. Yeah? Yeah? I can always tell you, if for any reason I start sharing coffee and you want to take my coffee, you must hear my message. Let it be that the day you find yourself in hell, your excuse is not nobody preached to you. It is that you drank the tea of the person that preached to you. And you chose your faith. You know, so evangelism is not sharing tea and coffee. Evangelism is not doing community service. There's nothing wrong. You can carry dustbin for all you like and clear all the road from here all the way to Livingston's house. That's good. You like put cross on your back. That's good. But if you don't preach and allow the message of the gospel, right, you as much just done community service. You don't need to be a Christian to share tea and coffee. You don't need to be a Christian to do community service. Is that true? Yeah, you don't need to be a Christian, you know, to even share flyers. You don't need to be a Christian to share flyers, right? Yeah. You know, you can go to Royal Mail and pay them a sum of money. And you give them your tract and they will distribute it in all the houses. So you don't need to be a Christian to share tracts. Yeah, we say evangelism is not playing gospel music on the streets. Right? You know, gospel music, just put one speaker there. We need to be careful, right? We need to be careful. Things are not necessary. You just put two children between dance competition, people are attracting people. What exactly is your goal for that? Well, let's assume you do that. You must ensure that the message of the gospel is preached. We say evangelism is not clothing people. If you clothe people and they don't believe the gospel, what you've done is you've just clothed a dead man. Are we together? Yeah, you can't be thinking somebody who needs life. Say take shoe. Yeah, say take coat. No, so evangelism is not sharing the story of our past. Yeah, I used to be a drunkard. I used to be a womanizer. I used to be a beautiful scout. God has changed you. Like I told you, men don't forget. Amen. I told you of the story of the woman who confessed in her church that she was a witch before. Everybody's children, they are running from the woman. Why did not hear before? That's because the minds of man know how to selectively hear. Somebody said she was a witch before. You forgot about the before. The only thing you paid attention on was, I was a witch. You understand? Men will not forgive you. Men will not forget your story. Right? Say, I sleep with 100 men in 2 weeks. Okay? And pastor now share you and somebody's husband in same house fellowship or go for evangelism. Imagine what I do for evangelism. We now peer you. And somebody else's husband, the woman will not evangelize her that day. She must be watching behind. She will be watching behind and making sure the soul she's preaching to can make her outside on you. I'm not saying you should be hiding things. I mean, I know I told you that I'm going to do a series, right? What extent is foolishness? Do you understand? There's some things you need to tell your husband, tell your partner, right? You know, but there are some things that you need to ensure that you don't do when your focus is to preach the message of the gospel. Altogether, your message is the message of the gospel. Your story is not a story. Altogether, God turned my catastrophe and gave me a trophy. He turned my best to a message. Yeah? He took me out of disaster and made me a superstar. He's the only one. That is not the message of the gospel. He made you a superstar. And you've not preached that Christ died and resurrected. You are a superstar for yourself. Maybe you are a supermoon. So, you need to pay a little attention to what exactly is the message of the gospel. You said, evangelism is not my life, in quotes, my life is preaching the message of Christ. See, people say things like, I don't need to preach. I do. People just watch. My neighbors just watch me. I just carry Bible and they watch me carry Bible. How many people do you know that say, I got born again by just seeing that brother carrying Bible to church? Wow. That brother, he just... He just wants to take my being from me and throw it away. Wow. And I receive salvation. Nobody enters that way. Right? So whilst it's good to help your neighbor take their being, it's good for you to let everybody know you're going. You know, I always tell you, some of you are not even proud enough to tell your neighbor you're going to church. One of my neighbors asked me one day, it was Saturday, I was trying to just pack in some things in the car into the church, in from the house into the car. You know, I said, oh, how are you? Any plan for the weekend? I said, yeah, I'm going to church tomorrow. I'm going for my designator today. I said, oh, really? So where is it? I said, Edinburgh. So you travel to Edinburgh for church? He said, He said, are you committed? I said, oh, yes, I go every Sunday. He said, At least I can tell my neighbor I'm going to church. Some of you with the Bible that you have, they'll say, why are you going to? I just go for a stop. I want to really go for a stop. I'm around the corner. I'm not going far. Yeah, I don't want them to know you are in for church. I was telling you on Sunday, see, your co-workers at work should know you are a Christian. I'm not saying when 9 a.m. on Monday morning, they say, well, let's start meeting. How did last week go? What's planned for this week? You now start saying, Ephesians, Philippians, that's what I'm reading this week. No. So my goal this week is to finish the book of Galatians. My goal this week is to finish the book of Philippians and Revelation. All these ones you're asking me to do. You're asking me to do the data analysis. I don't send all those ones. You soon become a money data to analyze. It's a matter of time. You understand? But you have a free time when nobody is working and you have to preach the gospel. Right? I remember sometimes if I have to go into the work, for instance, in London, I look for the break time. When we are strolling from the office to go and get food, it's an opportunity to preach the gospel. I'll together. And say, I don't know where to start. That's why I'm doing this series for you. Yeah, I don't know the conversation to start. I was telling you, there's a room for you to understand certain different, or to have an idea of different topics. So you can be able to start or initiate or engage. Understand? Like for instance, there's a tournament going on right now. Because of the tournament going on, I've stopped watching football over almost a decade ago. But I went back to go and watch the highlights. You watch France, you watch this, you watch that. I really can sit down to watch a 90 minutes match. But I watch the highlight, I know who is scoring. So it means I can find myself after a football tournament when they play final and have a conversation. Not, you know, somebody is saying, oh, wow, France won the tournament. So, wow, did Ronaldinho score? You understand? Yeah, I'm not saying you should. Some of you, because of what I'm saying now, you now go and watch all the old matches and don't use your time to learn the word again. Yes, but you can have those conversations. Learn how to initiate conversation. I was telling you, for instance, on Wednesday, you know, one of my colleagues was trying to show me something. A senior colleague was trying to show me something at work. You know, I was trying to say, this is how you get money back, and the company can pay you back if you take some cups or pints of alcohol and all those things. And she said, obviously, we know you don't drink. How did she know? Because I've traveled, last year I traveled a lot, I was looking at my flights to travel last year, and I think I took almost 60 flights within the year 2023 alone. So I traveled a lot of them for work, and all those things. And in all of those things, after you work in the morning, there's always get together in the evening. And we'll go out together, we'll notice that I'm drinking water. Give me water. The people are hearing, they are watching. I'll say, give me water. We go out another day, I'll say, give me water. There's a reason. Me, when I'm in that situation, I'm not saying you should do what I do, but I don't mix it up. It's water you give me. Not the one that will give me something inside, because you don't know what's inside. It's like, until one of those days, they asked me, I think we had finished eating somewhere. This was in, my goodness, I've forgotten the city. This was Manchester, yeah. I think this was Manchester. You know, and we had finished at the restaurant, we had gone back to the hotel, we just had a lobby, you know, and yeah, we just got talking and we're there for another 4 hours or thereabouts. You know, so I listened, I sat there, I was conversing with them, and I used the opportunity to bring in the gospel, the message of the gospel. You get that, right? And from then, they know. Yeah, see, there are some things you will do and stay away from that will give you a pedestal to preach the message. Not to give me one bottle. They're asking for one bottle, you ask for two, and you're the evangelist. All you people that are not evangelists, they're asking for one bottle. You give it, and in front of them, you down two. And you go, huh? I say, I want to tell you, so my pastor said, my life is not the message. Something I remember I heard of a story of a man who he was preaching on the bus in Nigeria. They were traveling from one town to another town and just preaching, Jesus loves you, what a love, you love me, love you. They just said to them, just pack and just have a break. Right? And they saw pastor. He bought a keg of pami. You know, some of us are just so deceptive. You know, Pope Doctor said I should take palm wine from my heart. The joke is on you. See, I should take prayer. it makes my heart solid. My heart is solid. and it says the fresh one, the one they just really, the one where you are seeing the man coming from the farm like this. So after the man finished preaching, and Ravi said, people were even trying to even listen to what they were saying. But when he just asked me one keg of pami. He said, "Hello," and say, Pastor, even you. Now, see, the question is not with the pami. The question is with the person drinking or asking or buying the pami. You know, there's a way you'll be in that bus. That even if your neighbor asks you to buy pami, and usually you buy it for them because of what you are supposed to do on that bus, you will not buy it. Because when you explain no evidence. Because when you finish buying it, nobody knows who is drinking it. You understand? So there are some things you just stay away from. Some people, some of us just have a very... Someone said to me that if this person preaches a pastor, me, I'm an angel. Imagine someone says that to you in your office. Someone who is a non-believer, he said, if this person preaching can be a pastor, then me, I'm an angel. Imagine. It means some people just have two sides. They lift their hands, they cry in church. But people just have two sides. You want to win, so the best place you saw to win so is in the club. Sister Steph, what are you doing in the club? You know, the souls that they are perishing. They are perishing. Yeah? And just say, you know, Pastor, you know. And so, you know, so I was having a conversation with someone very recent, a couple years, maybe a year ago. A person was saying, how is it that at your young age you decided to start serving Jesus? You know, in our very young age, we want to taste life so that when we grow old, we will not have any regrets. And you know, that's the mindset of a lot of people in our generation right now. Yeah. Let's taste what is in life. Right? What exactly is in life? You know, let's just taste it so that when I'm 40, I'll not look back and say, I wish. You know, and it's just very important. So, why am I saying this to you? Right? May not be your testimony, right? And you know, like I said, man will not forget. May not be your testimony that after you become born again, or after you now start preaching the gospel, someone will look at you and say, if you are the one preaching to me, I'm in sin already. Head of story said, because of this person, I cannot go to that church if this person is in this church. I will not serve. If this is what serving Jesus looks like, I will not serve. So your lifestyle in the real sense is not the message. But your lifestyle can hinder the message. Are you with me? That's why people fight a lot of us who preach eternal salvation. You know, you've known me, I'm here, I'm there. Right? I believe fully that the salvation a man receives from Jesus is an eternal salvation. So it means when a man is born again, he's saved forever. They used to call us osas. Once saved, always saved. You are saved because it is God that saved you. I believe strongly in that. However, you realize that some people fight us because they see the conduct of some of us that preach this thing. Because it almost sounds like because we want to live a sinful life, we're not reminding everybody our sins are forgiven. Are we together? So you need to actually understand that there's certain expectations from you. So We said again, evangelism is not, my life is preaching the message of the gospel, even though it is important. Next one, evangelism is not a life without Christ full of service. Let someone handle the charging of that live stream video, please. So, number 12 now says, evangelism is not come and see my pastor or come to Jesus and all your issues will be solved. Right. So evangelism is not ministering the things of the Spirit, whilst you need to minister the things of the Spirit. So we said, what is evangelism? Or truth or facts about evangelism. We said every believer is called to preach the gospel. Right? Every believer is called to preach the gospel. And we said the gospel has its facts. Yes. We said the fact, we looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 to 5. We said, moreover, brethren, I deliver unto you that which I also received, which is the gospel of salvation. So we said every believer is called to preach the gospel. We said the gospel has its facts. Now we said, number two, we said evangelism is an instruction and not an option. Yeah? Skills for evangelism are built by evangelizing, and that's the best way to what? Learn how to evangelize. We said evangelism involves taking the initiative to speak to and to speak with people, right? Do you remember all of these things we are recapping?
Yes.
It involves taking the initiative to speak to and to what? Engage people in discussions that will eventually lead to the gospel. So number five, every and anyone we meet or come in contact with deserves to be told about the what? The message of the gospel. We said number six, evangelism requires intentionality. Is that true? We said number seven, the gospel of evangelism is solely about Jesus and what? His work. Number eight, we said the evangelize is to become an evangelist. Is that true?
Yes, sir.
Then number nine, we said evangelism is my what? Responsibility. Okay, so we looked into all of that. We looked on Wednesday about what it means to sit at the feet of Jesus. I said to submit our hearts and attention and, you know, desires to learn and to be trained at his feet. Right? Today, one of the things I want to pay attention to is how important is evangelism to God, and also what are the practical steps we can take whilst going for evangelism. So look at 1 Timothy 2 verse 3. Let's start up today, okay? 1 Timothy 2, 3. First Timothy 2. Are we there? 1 Timothy chapter 2, now look what it says, verse 3 and 4, it says, for this is good. What is this that is good? Go back to verse 1. I exhort therefore that first of all supplication, prayer, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all goodliness and what? Honesty. Let's read verse 3 together. 1, 2, 3, go. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge. So if you want to ask, what is God's will on the earth? What is God's will on the earth? All men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of his truth. So God's will on the earth is for all men to be saved. So that's God's delight. Are we together? Right? So it means that reaching the lost in order to get them saved is doing God's delight. Hallelujah. I remember, you know, God's Palace today used to be called God's Delight Gospel Church. Yeah? I just remember that now. So doing the will of preaching the gospel, reaching out to the lost, and causing men to come to the knowledge of God's word is you doing the delight of God. So when you preach the gospel, so one way to make God happy is what? By what? Preaching the gospel. Let me tell you for free. See, God is not excited or delighted at the amount of, you know, the amount of money you make or put in your bank account. Are you with me? God does not have a delight in, and that's why a lot of times we miss a point when a lot of us think that the more we get successful in life, the more God is happy with us. Are we together? People believe that, you know, the gospel needs money more than any other thing. Are you with me? The gospel needs money more than any other thing. That's a faulty. It's not just a lie, it's a faulty lie. All together. Right? Do you need money to preach the gospel? No. You don't know. That's why we must understand the gospel is not a message of wealth. The gospel is a message that can be preached to the poor and the rich. Let me tell you for free. If any day the wealthiest man in the world walks into this place and he sits down here, and the moment I observe he is the wealthiest man in the world, I begin to change my topic. There's something either wrong with me that day, or what I've been preaching before that day has not been the gospel. Are you with me? If a rich man walks into our auditorium and I change my message because I saw that this rich man walked into the auditorium, it means that either the message I will now start preaching is wrong, or the message I was preaching, or both the message I was and I am are wrong. The message of the gospel is not to the rich, neither is it to the poor. All about Jesus. All together. That's why I see some of us in our crossover, some of you, and you are unserious with your Christian faith till crossover. 31st of December, you adjust yourself now to start the year with God. You start the year with God, you leave him behind. And God is saying, come, you are running. And think you're running his course. Right? You know, that in the real sense, there are some things we need to pay attention to as the gospel. The gospel is not Christ died so I'll be rich. And that's not true. We have more poor Christians than rich Christians. If you don't know that, go check online. Altogether. Right? So the message should not fit into a poor group of people, should not fit into a rich group of people. It is the same message to the poor. It is the same message to the rich. So if I'm preaching a message, right? Oh, God wants to give you. Next year you will be this. Before the end of this year, I give God 12 months, you will buy a new house, you will buy a new car. So you know some of us not give God a deadline. Right? I give if I be a man of God, don't be lying. And I can always tell you, if a pastor promised you that you will buy a house this year, if at the end of the year you don't buy it, why you say I don't believe in God again? Who told you? Who told you you will buy a house? From whose mouth did you hear it from? It's not your pastor. If you want to involve police, who should they arrest? I not say that too. I not say you don't carry police and carry a pastor. It's that, you know, the pastor tells you something about the gospel is, you know, some of us are so eloquent in saying nonsense. The gospel is all encompassing. It's all encompassing. That's what I tell you. Yeah? And some of us as pastors, we now start living a kind of life to portray that there's wealth in the gospel. Or we're owing money. Yeah. You are coming out from your house before you go to church, they are snapping you. You enter inside your car, they video your car from the plate number and bring your, you know, and some people have, you get the phone, you are doing like this from the tire, you are stopping the tire, doing like this to the mirror. You now sit at the back of the car is going on the express, you are now videoing the front. The pastor now gets down, you now give him suits. Pastor that came 40 minutes late into service, he has not landed. He has finished one bottle of Pringles. He has finished chocolate. Somehow, why do I say this is when I teach? So that when you see it, you don't see it. You know, because the mind of man knows how to merge facts together. You hear from me, for instance, a pastor that says, God died for sins and sins alone. Somebody else tells you God died for sins and prosperity. Your mind is able and capable to merge it together. First, you collect like terms. Sin is in my own, sin is in his own. What is not in my own and what is in his own? Money. Who will you be attracted to more? The one that is reminding you that there is money to be gotten. You understand? So we must understand that the message of the gospel is the same to the poor, the same to the rich. We don't twist it for any reason. We don't change it for any reason. Right? It is what. So it means that if you go on the street and you see a man who the world might term as a poor man, the message in your lips is the same message you preach to another who is wearing Balenciaga, Balenciaga, anything that the person is wearing. Tom Ford or Hom Ford, anyone that the person is wearing, the same message on your lips is the same message to everybody. Now we're together. That Christ died for sins. Now, is it wrong? And you know, an average person wants sorry, let me catch myself back. It's not really true. Yeah. But a lot of times as pastors, we want people in the church to do well. Right? Yeah, and when that fix as pastors, because we want people to do well, to now begin to change the message so that they are money-minded. Because eventually, a money-minded congregation will work or will look at how to display affluence or money more than you will think. Why? Because we want our car park to be bigger. We want to say, oh, we have like 5 sisters in our church who drive Rolls Royce to church. Yeah, so sometimes you know, how many of you? So somebody asked me a question. Why, Pastor? How come we don't have testimony time in God's palace? We want people to know what God is doing in our midst. I say, and you are in believers' meeting. You don't see what believers are doing. Somebody you have never met in your life gives you history about your life. You don't see it. You are blind. See, one testimony, one testimony, one testimony. You know, imagine we now have Brother John leading testimony. Testimony time. Oh, it's victory in your church. Some will say it's blessing time. Overcomers time. Overcoming victory. Are they the same or they're not the same? Overcomers time. Praise the Lord. You have to sing a song first, actually. Come and join me. The Lord I'm serving. He's good to me. Then the pastor now says, praise the Lord. What's the testimony? I say, I want to thank God for the salvation of my soul. Mm-hmm. The pastor will now remove the mic and say, it's your testimony. What is the testimony? You see, you subconsciously said salvation of your soul is not testimony enough. Mm-hmm. What do you want to hear? I got a car. If you see this car, people now start fantasizing 2024, what kind of car could it be that this lady is rejoicing like this? So now say it's Mazda 89. Now, you see the mindset of people when you say Mazda 89 and Tesla 24. That's materialism. See, when God bless your neighbor, it's in the neighborhood. Just look around your neighbors. If you are living in a neighborhood where God is blessing them, is in the neighborhood. The one is next. That's a way we preach materialism. I told you of a man who, you know, went around preaching to people that come and see the Jeep that God gave our pastor. If you see the Jeep, they press button. This was when button to open was not predominant. So they press button to open the door. I know some people will hear that message and say, I want that kind of life. Because who doesn't want a good life? In the real sense. What now happens is what? You now start building a false image in the hearts of people and also false believers. Are we together? Who will now begin to compete with themselves? Who is sharing the largest testimony today? That is, some people, when they tell the testimony, because they were able to perceive them in a certain way, they come out and lie. Do you understand? You come out and lie. Just because some people to perceive you in a certain way. Oh, I got a contract. I didn't apply for it. How they got my number? I don't know. They just called me and they just gave me the job and I just got it. The pastor will now come and say, God is here. Say, God is here. God is here. Say, if you are not among those benefiting from this kind of testimonies, check your life. Please, over all of you, if I say check yourself, will you not see something?
Yes.
And that you know you are not praying well. You know, you are not committed to church, you will see something. You say, is that you need to check your life or your giving? Mm-hmm. Like I always say, if you are suffering, check your offering. That's right. And if your life is seeming tight, check your
tight.
That's good. You understand? Some of you now increase your tithe from 10% to 20%. After 2 years, you try, nothing improve again. They'll tell you again, check your tithe. Or did they collect everything from you? So you must understand that the message of the gospel is a message that is to the rich, to the poor. And the message is that which delights God. So if you look at Luke 15 verse 4, go to Luke 15 4. Okay, Luke 15 4. Luke 15, 4. Let's read 4 to 7 quickly. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after them which is lost until he finds it? And when he had found it, he laid it on his shoulder rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was what? Lost. Look at verse 7. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven. Over what? What? So what do you use sheep that is lost to teach? The soul of a sinner that repents. So he says, I say unto you that joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repented, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Come together. What is he teaching? Right? There is joy in heaven when a soul repents. How many of you have made heaven happy? How many of you have made a cause for rejoicing in the heavens? One soul, and how would the soul actually be repentant when the message of the gospel has been presented to the heart of one soul? Heaven rejoices with the sinner that is saved. How much more in their multitude? Look at Ezekiel 18, verse 32. I want us to get into some practicality of these things today. It's Ezekiel 18, verse 32. Ezekiel 13, verse 32. Are you there? Ezekiel 18. Ezekiel 18, verse 32. For I have no pleasure in the death of him that died, says the Lord God. Wherefore turn yourselves and what? Leave he. So when a sinner is perishing in his sin, God does not have a pleasure in that. So when you see a sinner perishing in his sin, what will make God derive pleasure in that narrative? When a preacher preaches the gospel and he or she is saved. Look at chapter 33 of the same Ezekiel, verse 11. Say unto them, as I live, says the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. So, does God have pleasure when the man that is wicked dies? No. You know, some of us are in the habit of praying for people that bomb all over the world. See, is it good to bomb people? No. Is it good to rob people? No. But what is God's will and desire for the one who robs? That he is saved. Are we together? That he is saved. That he is saved. So he says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked will turn away from his way and live. He says, turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of what? Israel. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. 2 Peter 3, 9. Second Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he is long suffering to us what? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what? Repentance. Are you there? Are you there? Let's read verse 10 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Let's read together verse 10. 2 Peter 3:10. 1, 2, 3, go. For the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works therein shall be burned up. Are we together? Yeah? If you look carefully in verse 9, what is he teaching? He's saying there is a long suffering of God that what? That is seen. So he says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men will count slackness, but is long suffering. So God suffers for long. Right? So when God suffers for long, what is the goal? That a sinner is saved. Right? Because there's a judgment, there's a condemnation, there's destruction that is happening. So God is patient with humanity for humanity to come into the knowledge of his word, knowledge of his truth, knowledge of his saving power. Right? So what is God's will anytime, any day? That all men are saved and come to the knowledge of his truth. So we cannot afford to walk against God's will. Are we together? We ought to find ourselves in alignment with God's will. We ought to find ourselves in alignment with God's will. Romans 1 will say, verse 16, for the, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto what? Salvation to them that believed. Are we together? Romans 10 will now tell you, right? God wants men to be saved. They will not be saved if they don't hear the message. They will not hear the message if they don't what? If they are not being preached to. So God wants men to be saved, and his goal will be achieved by you and I preaching to men who require to be saved. Hallelujah. So we need to understand that God's will on the earth is what should permeate our hearts. You see, don't live your life every Monday all through the Saturday. The only time you think about God is Sunday morning. No, God needs to be on your mind every day of your life. What else are you living for? Are we together? What else are you living for? You see, every other thing will pass away except the work you do for God. It has an eternal mark, eternal value. If you are the richest man in Edinburgh today, I can tell you for free, in another 20 years, you might not be the richest in Edinburgh. Are we together? Yeah? The richest man in the world today was not the richest man in the world 50 years ago. Yeah? I can tell you for free, we'll probably not be the richest man in the world 50 years from now. But guess what? The believer that was saved 50 years ago is the believer that is saved today, believer saved tomorrow. That's an eternal fact that should permeate your heart. So you are seeing people perish. You should actually pay attention to the fact that, see, worse comes to worse. If the world comes to an end now, this one is perishing. Are we together? Yeah? So there's a mindset you need to have. Now, before we go into the practicality of these things today, let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Look at what Paul says to Timothy. 1 Timothy 1, 7. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. If you look at 2 Timothy 1, 7, sorry, 2 Timothy 1, 7. Then you look at 1 Timothy 4, 12. Sorry, 2 Timothy 1, 7. 1 Timothy 6 together. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance. 1, 2, 3, go. Wherefore, God's Palace. Okay, let me give you time to write. God's Palace, open your Bible, open your Bible, open your Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, verse 6. 1, 2, 3, go. Wherefore, I put in thee remembrance that thou still the gifts of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Let's look at verse 7, 1, 2, 3, go. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Hold on. How many of you know this scripture? You've quoted it when you were growing up. God has not given a spirit of fear. Beautiful. But you know that this spirit of fear he's talking about, sound mind and all these things, is regarding the gospel. And how do you look at the next verse 8? Let's read verse 8 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the affliction of the what? Gospel according to the power of God. So God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power of mind, of sound mind. Right? Yeah? It's about what? The message of the gospel. So say, I don't have the spirit of fear. Say, I'm bold about the gospel. Say, I preach the gospel boldly. I preach the gospel boldly. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. First Timothy 4, 12. Look at what Paul says to Timothy. He says, let no man despise thy youth. Is that your Bible? Yeah. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of what? God's palace. Are we here? Yeah. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Let's read together again, verse 12. 1, 2, 3, go. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in words, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. See, So that you are young is not an example for you not to preach the gospel. What did Paul say to Timothy? He says, let no one despise your youth. See, don't allow anybody to torment you and say, you're a young boy, you don't know what you are saying. But mind you, he said something emphatically to Timothy. He says, but ensure that thou art an example of the believer. You get that? So that you are young, the way you say no to gainsayers, or the way you respond to people who want to despise you, it's not by shouting, no, no, God uses people that are small. It's by you being an example of who? Of a believer. Mind you, so if somebody who has been in the Christian faith for 50 years looks at you and say, how are you, you? Before they gave birth to you, I was born again. How old are you? 24. Your mother gave birth to you at 45. When your mom was 45, I started teaching in nursery school. When your mom, before your mom was born, I was teaching in Sunday school. What should you not say? No, grandma say, that's why I see your life like this. We see it all over you. We're teaching for years. What do you know? Can you explain John 3:16? Paul says, but be thou an example. He didn't say be thou an example of a young believer. He says be thou an example of a believer. So it means an elderly person will watch you as a believer and see an example he or she can follow. No, pastor, you know, I'm young and free. Pastor, let me live my life. Pastor, you can't be telling me to come to church. Pastor, if I come, I come. If I don't come, pray for me. Pastor, any day you see me, rejoice. I'm not only a church person, though. I didn't grow up in church environment. That's not what you say. Are we together? He says, be an example of the believer. You know, when it comes to the Christian faith, age matters when it comes to experience. Yes, you get better at these things over time. But don't let anyone despise the fact that you're a young person. You too, if they are despising you, what do you do? Maintain your sanity as a believer. Maintain your sanity as a believer. Be straightforward with your conversations. And some people, when they tell you good morning, you have to check the time to be sure if it's still morning. That's how they lie. Do you understand? Don't let somebody tell you, anytime Brother John says that color of that chair is green, you need to go and check it yourself. You know, you can be a man of integrity. You can be a man that is honest. You can be a man that is straightforward. Yeah, we're talking about preaching in your office now. And meanwhile, if some of you, if you go to your office, I don't believe any of them is here. Hallelujah. If they say, give us a report about this brother or this sister, manager will say, let's not just talk. Just leave it there. Imagine. They always know you come late. Today is some people have a list of lies. The one they throw. Today is tired and busted. Tomorrow, engine knock. Next tomorrow, they hit my car. Next tomorrow, you just have it and it just flows. You know, some people lie without blinking an eye. I think I was in a car, so I can't remember where I was or. I can't remember what was that. And the person was literally lying. Do you understand? It was literally lying. Yeah? The person is asking you, why you come to church tomorrow? You see me. I'm there. You see me. Meanwhile, as you are saying, you will see me. What we are here, what you are saying to yourself is not, there's a not in between. You will not see me. You will not see me. Or you see and cancel the see. You say, you see me. It's not, you must be someone who is a straightforward person. You must be straightforward. So Paul will say, be thou an example. Be thou an example of the believer. How? In your words, how you talk, in how you converse, in charity, in spirit, in your attitude, in faith, in purity. Till I come give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Yeah? So look at Paul again in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Second Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25. Look at what Paul says. He says, thrice was I beaten with rod. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
How many times did they beat Paul with rod? Are you there? Second Corinthians chapter what? 11 verse what? 25. Christ was not beaten with rod. How many times did he beat Paul with rod?
3 times.
Is it because he stole?
No.
Don't go and steal. They catch you, they beat you. You say they even beat Paul as well. Do you understand? You went to steal. Or you took somebody's husband or somebody's wife and they come to the house, they deal with you. Right? You don't say even Paul was beaten. No, why was Paul beaten? It's for the sake of the gospel. Because Christ was beaten with a rod. Once I was stoned. Remember, who was being stoned when Paul heard the gospel? Stephen. They were stoning Stephen to death. Paul was consenting to the killing of Stephen, and Stephen eventually died in front of Paul. And Paul did not know that later in life he will be stoned like Stephen. See? Who did Paul eventually become? Yeah? Who did Paul eventually become? The one that was stoned. So the message of the gospel is not to come into the Christian faith and just say, a life without Christ will be full of crisis. Please, what is more crisis than a rod flogged 3 times, stone? And you know, if a Jewish man should stone you, they mean it though. You know, you want to stone somebody, you hold the stone like this, you do like this. You to touch your head, you say, ooh, you touch your head. There is stone of death. What it means to flog with rod, Paul says, Christ was I beaten. So Paul is saying, on this my missionary journey to preach the gospel, the gospel I once accused, the ones I was carrying placard to say the gospel must end. The gospel must end. That's the real, he turned the disaster to superstar. That's the real, somebody who was in the mess. Are you together? So what does God want for the person who stones another believer to death? Ezekiel 18, Ezekiel 33. It is not God's will that the wicked should perish, but that he repents and turns from his way. So Paul says, Christ was I flogged, was I beaten, once was I stoned. Christ I suffered shipwreck. You know, Paul would have said, this gospel I'm going to need again. Is he only me? Some of you, you go through things like that. You come to church, water splash on you. You say, is he only me? A bus is passing beside you, the water just splashed on you. See, you stay my wife, I go to church again. Paul was saying he was in the middle of 3 shipwrecks. Eh? You stayed my steers. You stayed my steers. You know, some of you are so mindful about your steers. Yeah, how do I know steers? Hey, some of you that are teaching me here. You always got to be fashionable. Some people can wake up in the morning, their shoe is not clean, and because of that, they just say, I'll just join online. Your shoe is not clean. Your shoe is not clean. Say, my white is rumpled. It takes me 40 minutes to iron. Before I finish ironing, you can finish praise and worship. Let me just join online. But you don't have that mindset to work. How many of you wake up on Monday morning and just say, my clothes is not even ironed. Let me just tell them I will connect on Zoom. And they have to come to work every day. After I say, why is it that it's church that suffers the most when you go through things? The church must suffer the most when you go through things. As people are so good at the excuse. My dear brother was giving an example the other day when when you are saying, I'm sorry, every time. Some of you don't want to say for your name. Some of you want to, not you. You are all sanctified. Amen. If I want to search for your name, I just need to search for, I am sorry, sir. You just see the names coming out. I am sorry, sir. Sorry, sir. Sorry, I was able to make it. Sorry, I was able to make it. Sorry, I waited for Uber. Uber did not come. Sorry, Pastor. The bus, it was looking like the weather was going to change. You know, Pastor, you know, the Uber that was supposed to come, they looked for my house, the tire to look for my house, you know, so they just gave up and went. You see, we can give excuses, but excuses are things that are found on the lips of people who don't want to achieve anything. I can give an excuse for not being in church today. I mean, Yeah. So don't be among the souls. So Paul says he was beaten 3 times. Some of you, if you're going to preach the gospel to one person, they just insult you. Say, I'm not preaching this gospel again. Let me tell you something. For Paul to be flogged 3 times on account of the gospel, it didn't happen at the same time. Bible did not say 3 people flogged him at once. It is he experienced the flogging of rod several occasions. It means they flogged him the first time for the gospel's sake. When he healed, he went back to the streets to preach the gospel. The next time they caught him, they flogged him again. When he healed, he went back to the streets. He remembered Jesus told him, go into the world and preach the gospel. They flogged him again, he healed. This time around, they looked for stone, they stoned him. When they stoned him, all his head swelled up, everything. And he said, Jesus says to me, go into the world and preach the gospel. Somebody who was tolerating and permitted to handle the killings of people preaching the gospel. Let me tell you, dear saints, you know, we don't have excuse, though. We're not under persecution in this country. If you see persecution, you will not be able to pronounce it. There are people, as we're talking right now, on their Sunday meeting, they meet in caves. They meet in caves. I heard a story of a group of people who they meet on Sunday. When they meet, they can't carry their Bible on the streets. So they have to memorize the Bible in their house. So when they are coming to church, they are coming with the word in their head. So when pastor says Philippians 4:13, they are all putting it together. That is persecution. You heard talk about the story of, you know, there was the father that the government of that, I can't remember, one of those Asian countries, the government were persecuting them so much that they planted people to report them. Just imagine, like, maybe we're meeting in a cave and one of us is one of the plantment spy. That's a better word. I say plantment. So one of us is a spy. And guess what the pastor just said? Pastor said, we noticed there's a pie in our midst. You know what the pastor said? He said, on our next meeting, the Holy Ghost will tell you the time and the venue. Let's meet there. Everybody met there except the spy. They're still training you to talk in tongues. They're still saying tongues. Tongues is for the unbelievers. Tongues is gibberish. Well, people know it. You know what it means for everybody? If you miss that day, you're on your own. No fire. Said the Holy Ghost will tell you when our next meeting will be and where it will be. All of us meet there except the spy. People are going through persecution. No? Some of you, they just say, if you go out to preach the gospel, they just say, go and look for a job. And now we'll be paying you. Why is he paying you? If you don't have a job, look for a job. It's the honest counsel. Somebody says you should go and look for a job. You don't have a job. You look for it now. But if you know you have a job, what happens? You don't allow that to get you. You dust it off. You dust it off. Paul says, thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. What is Paul saying? Paul is trying to say there's a tendency that he even tasted death in all that he has been through. He says, look at verse 26. He says, in journeying often in perils of water. That means persecution was known for Paul. See, don't let your life get so regimented that you cannot enjoy anything for the cross again. Are we together? Don't get your life into that place where you can't enjoy anything for the cross again. You can't do anything for the cross again. You just always rather give an excuse. Yeah? Look at verse 26 again. In joining offers and perils of waters and perils of robbers. That means I'm robber, I rob Paul. In our world today, if I'm robber, come to your neighborhood. You hear some Christians say, I can't go to church because I want to guard my door. If God loves me enough, why didn't he put his angels to charge over my house that robbers are dealing with me? Paul says he experienced robbers. Are we together? He says, in joining of the prayers of water, in prayers of robbers, in prayers of my own countrymen, in prayers by the heathen, in prayers of the city, in prayers of the wilderness, in prayers of the sea, in prayers among what? False brethren. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at verse 27. Let's read verse 27 together. 1, 2, 3, go. In weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak? And am I not weak? Who is offended? And I burn not? If I must need glories, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father, Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knowing that what? I lie not. So the poor go through challenges, yes. You can go to the street. Let me tell you something. See, you go to the street and you are trying to stop people to preach to them and they don't stop for you. What do? You don't go back home. Are we together? You don't go back home. Think of yourself. How many people have stopped? How many people have you stopped for? I know people that are selling things that are trying to stop you. Did you stop for them? You did not stop for them. I just want to assume that you have one anointing that anybody you stop will stop. How? There's one lady in one of the malls I go for evangelism there. You know, moment I see her like this, I start walking another direction. I carry my eye away. Only eventually I say I'm not walking away. What was my hair today? When I listen to her, you must listen to me. Some of us we're just ashamed of the gospel. You know, I don't like rejection. No, he was rejected for my sake. I don't like rejection. Anything that makes me say Jesus loves you, I say, go and sit down somewhere. Say to hell with you. Go and 20. Just tell them, say, Jesus loves you. Paul says shipwreck. Paul says stone. Stephen, where do you think Paul saw an example to follow that in spite and despite being stoned, you stand for the gospel? Stephen. Are we together? Stephen. So it means that do you know what it means to flog somebody? It means you reject the person, the personality, and the person's message and its content. So if you're in a world where people just reject you by, you know, just by words, see, you've got a long way to still keep forging ahead. Stay there. Sometimes I go with evangelism like this. Before I can find somebody I can speak to, I must have stopped like 25 people. 25 people before I find the first person. So, excuse me, do you have a vision? No, thank you. So, do you have a vision? No, thank you. 25 times. With all I've experienced on the evangelism field, I should not be preaching evangelism again. You know what, church? Let's just be doing social media posting. Let's just be posting our flyers. God is walking in our midst. Except there are some I'll preach to. Oh wow, you present the gospel so well. So this. I said, oh beautiful. Can we just keep talking? When you invite them to church, they say they'll come to church. How many of you have experienced those people? They will come to church. Some of them in the Sunday morning you'll be excited, waiting that, oh wow, you will see somebody in church. They'll not even notify you that they're not coming again. But what happened? You keep your focus. So let's look at the practicality of evangelism today into next week, and I'll continue next month again. Now, number one, how to start conversations. Number one, how to start conversations. How to start conversations. So I'm going to help you. I would implore you, take notes in this teaching. Then go back and listen to this teaching again and again and again. Yeah? Because I'm going to say, like I told you, when I was preparing for revising my notes, I was paying attention to how I act on the field. Okay? Things I say. So one of the ways to start conversations is by word of knowledge. Oh, not just word of knowledge. By flowing in the gifts of the Spirit. Number one, learn to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. Learn to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. Learn to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. Right, I'll practice that again on Wednesday. But what are the gifts of the Spirit really? Right, we have tongues, interpretation, and prophecy, right? And we have word of knowledge, word of wisdom, the gift of faith. We have working of miracles. We have working of miracles, gift of healing, gift of faith. Then we have word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and what last one? Discerning of spirits. I was together. I remember we were going out on one of my evangelism grounds, and I was just talking to a couple, and they were just standing, right? And I just mentioned the name of the lady. Right, so since this was last month, April, right, I just mentioned, who is this person, right? And she stepped back a little. She was like, how do you know my name? You know, first of all, and I remember this day, the first thing that comes to your mind is that you are being stalked, or you are stalking them. You don't really have the information. Yeah? What do you do again, right? Remember, at that point, you are what? Trying to edify, trying to instruct, I remember another one as well, again, you know, the way he looked at me, he thought that I knew his profile. He thought maybe I knew social media or whatever about him. Until I started giving him details that are not social media. Told him where his mother was staying. He has not posted it before. Told him what his mother was going through. Nobody else knew. That's one of the ways you can initiate conversations. Are we here? Hope nobody is sleeping. Right? Hope nobody is sleeping. If you are sleeping, say I'm sleeping. Yeah? So one of the ways is to initiate by... So when you come to a local church like this, where you are being taught how to minister the gifts of the Spirit, learn it well. Learn it well. Learn it well. Like I've told you, when you get on the street and you start ministering the gifts of the Spirit, somebody is trying to tell you to show you are correct. What is the name of my father's father's father? I will advise you. If the person doesn't want to hear the gospel, just go. This kind of thing, he said, before you start knowing, you start going to the flesh. Yeah? Before you know, you start going to the flesh. So you don't need to get yourself into a... Because the goal of the ministry of the Spirit is for what? Edification. Now, number two. Learn to take the initiative and recall always to yourself that it is your responsibility. Learn to take the initiative and recall always within yourself that it is your what? Responsibility to initiate conversations concerning the gospel. Let me show you a quick example of how things were initiated in scriptures. Look at Acts chapter 8. So learn to take the initiative and recall it is your responsibility to initiate conversations concerning the gospel. Acts 8:29. Acts 8:29. Are you with me? Now, and the Spirit of God said unto Philip, go near and join yourself unto this chariot. And Philip prophesied unto him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And Philip said unto him, do you understand what you read? So what did Philip do there? He met a man reading a book of scriptures, and he asked the man a question. What was his goal for? When you look at him asking the man a question, what was he doing? Initiating a what? Conversation. So that scripture you can see can start from a book. You see somebody reading a book casually on a chair. And you can start from there. And whilst the conversation continues in that line of the book, what happens? You look and learn. Going to teach you that you look and learn where to bring in the gospel. All together. All together. So what did Philip do in verse 35? Go to 35. Acts 8:35. Then Philip opened his mouth and he began at the same scripture. And what did he do? He preached unto him Jesus. Acts chapter 8, verse 35. So Philip began to preach. So Philip initiated the conversation. Is that true? Then Philip began to preach. So there's a way you will initiate the conversation, then you will take over the conversation by preaching the message of the gospel, because your goal for initiating the conversation was to preach the gospel. Yeah? Don't see someone talking about football, you now still football, and you finish football, you use the 2 hours to talk about football. No, you must find a point to bring in the message of the gospel. Sometimes it might take a longer time. I always give you an example. Right? I was in a group of a couple of friends, right? And we're talking. They will talk this one. I will try to bring the gospel. They will try and sweep. You know how somebody will just switch the gospel on your body and throw it away into the dustbin? You will try the gospel again. They will turn it again around you, throw it away into the dustbin. I found a way eventually. The lady said she was going to do a tattoo. She's going to try to go do a tattoo on her bodies. She said, there's a tattoo I want to write here. Mistakenly mentioned scripture. Psalm 46 verse 5. God is within her. She shall not be moved. That's why you think you should know Bible. Yeah? And what happened? From that Psalm 46, I took another over 3 hours explaining to them. Just like Philip, beginning at that scripture. I took them from Psalm 46 back to Genesis, all through to the book of what? Revelation. Are we together? Yeah? Let me tell you something. You get better at it by practicing. You know, I told you last week, somebody was asking me that, Pastor, how do you hold conversation with 5 people? See, the truth is, I can stand here with 10 random people and converse with them. The highest I've done is 8. I've done 8. In fact, I have a picture of them. I got some guys saved on just off Prince's Street. Sometime last, about 8 of them. 8 of them, I stood in their midst and conversed them. They're all from England, one of those Newcastle areas. You know the funny thing? When I finished preaching to them, answering their questions, they took a picture with me, right? And collected my Instagram. I went back to, you know what we meet for evangelism? I went back and I told you all about it. I think I showed you the pictures we took, right? And before I go back home, I just saw people tagging me on Instagram. Yeah, but what happened was that some of the people I was going to deliberately want, and I wanted to follow up intentionally, but they came into Edinburgh for that weekend, and their train back was on Sunday morning. Trust me, I can stand here with 8 people and converse. I still have, I can send the picture to you. But let me tell you what I'm saying. I didn't start there. No one say, Pastor Joshua, 8 people. You should go and look for me. When you see 2, you don't talk. You see one person standing, you don't look at that person. You see 2, you don't go there. You look for when they are in the multitude. Yes. You say, no, Peter did 3,000. Yeah. Honestly, see, when you stand in front of men, if you don't know what you are saying, the way they can look at you and relegate you can give you a scar forever. Are you with me? It can scar you forever. Such that you will not even talk to one again. But I look forward to you all getting to that point. When you get into a conversation, right? So I was saying, so one of you had seen me doing that to like 4 or 5 people. I said, and they were all listening. I said, but what are you saying to them? Well, I didn't start there. But you must learn to take the initiative. Learn to take the initiative. See, when you're going for your personal evangelism, it might be easier for you to start with one person. Let me even say it differently. It might be easier for you to start with one person that is your gender. It might be easier. But the fact that you speak to one person is important. The one I've gotten so used to now that I can do even closing my eyes couple. Once you are a couple, you are gone. But I didn't get there without doing it over time. So you must learn to take initiative. So Stephen did that. Look at what Paul did in Acts 19. Look at Acts 19. Acts 19 verse 1 to 6. And it came to pass that Apollos was at Corinth. Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finally sent disciples. And he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much heard about any Holy Ghost. And Paul said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said unto John's what? Baptism. Now look at verse 4. Then said Paul, John verily what? Baptized with what? Are we here? John verily baptized with what? Baptism of what? Repentance. Saying unto the people that they should believe on him which will come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. Look at verse 5. When they heard this, they were what? Baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Look at what verse 6 now happened. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they speak with tongues and what? Prophesied. So, in the real sense, Paul would meet some people with a conviction and start a conversation from their conviction and get them filled with the Holy Ghost. Learn to take initiative, right? Now, let's approach on the streets. How do you stop people on the streets? So, I, like I said, I wrote down some of the questions I ask that I can remember to the best of my knowledge. On the streets, one of the best ways to start conversation is to ask for time. Politely reach out, politely say hello, and politely ask for time. Now, asking for time includes questions like, do you have a few seconds to spare? Is that Patricia? Do you have a few hours to spare? You have a few hours. Okay, I hear. Right? So you can ask. So now, a lot of times, it might be easier for you not to start with few seconds. Now, let me tell you why. So that's what I do. If I ask you for a few minutes, and you say you don't have a few minutes, I'll beg you for a few seconds. More often than not, it works. Because eventually say, okay, you were asking for minutes, now seconds. Well, I wouldn't want to say in seconds. And that's why I told you, you must be able to preach the gospel in 3 hours. And preach the gospel in what? 30 seconds. Are you with me? Yeah? You should be able to know the gospel well enough to preach it in 30 seconds. Now, when I ask people for minutes and they don't give me minutes, and they say second, they don't give me second, I ask them for milliseconds. Amen. It's part of it. Now, a lot of times when you ask for milliseconds, some of them will smile. What's the smile? You started. Take note of what I'm saying to you. Don't come and tell me to the pastor, I don't know how to stop conversation. No, we'll go out together. So you can ask, do you have a few seconds to spare? Do you have a few minutes to spend? Do you have a few milliseconds to spare? Right? Now, well, another way you can go around it is, do you have a few seconds or a few minutes to talk about love? Or do you have time to talk about love? Can we talk about love? Once you're a couple like that and talk about love, you start blushing. Yeah? So do you have a few seconds to talk about love? Do you have a few seconds to talk about? Another way you can go around is, do you have a few seconds to talk about God for my practice? The ones I do with God, the day I wake up and I say it's God I'm going to be talking about today, nobody stops for me. Once you mention God, everybody wants to go on their business. Because for instance, an environment like this where people don't need to believe in God before they have a successful life, what do you really want to say to them? But I'll teach you how to go around it, because you'll find yourself in different parts of the world. Okay? So, do you have a few seconds to talk about God? Right? Another way I go around it is, hello, my name is Joshua. Right? Does it mention your name? Do you have a few minutes to spare? Same question, same way. My name is Joshua, do you have a few minutes to spare? Or could we have a quick chat on love? Could we have a quick chat about love? Now, let me tell you for free. You must learn to have an attitude of to insist. If everybody that you stop is saying no, 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 and your testimony at the end of your evangelism is nobody stop for me, it's not, it shouldn't be that way. But you will find some that will stop. So learn to insist. If somebody says, like I told you, for minutes, they say no, you say seconds. They say no, you say milliseconds. Try to insist. Or can you just say, a brief moment. Brief moment usually works as well. Right? Now, another way you can go around it is to pay a compliment. This one, you have to be careful about this. I beg you. It works, but you need to be careful about it. Sometimes on your train, you can ask somebody, what are you wearing? And maybe what you mean by perfume. Not the one you are not smelling anything, then you ask, what are you wearing? The person says, I'm not spray anything. Right? So you can pay a quick compliment and it can initiate a conversation. Oh, your smile is beautiful. But be careful where you do it. Altogether. Be careful where you do it. A lot of times it can be easier to do it when people are in a pair, and particularly opposite genders. Altogether. Because if a boy tells me your spine is beautiful, I will catch my leg and run. Some people have a lot of things in their mind. My spine is beautiful. Why are you looking at my spine? Back, close your eyes. You understand? But you must be able to just change. You must be able to sense the atmosphere. Sense what works. Right? You can pay a quick compliment. Right? Oh, like for instance, Philip, Ethiopian eunuch. What book are you reading? Oh, this. Oh, that. Oh, wow. I've not read this book. Oh. But I read a book. The book actually has 66 chapters. You saw it? Can somebody read it and say, oh, you seem like someone who loves reading. Are you taking note? Don't be looking at my face, oh. I'm telling you this out to do. Don't go to the street and come back home and say, nobody's talking for you. Somebody is sitting down on the couch and is reading a book. Oh, you seem like someone who loves reading. Oh, yeah, I just love reading. I actually love reading as well. That means you should start loving reading. Right? What's the name of this book? What's the author? If you don't know, you don't know. You don't need to form like you know. See, there's a book I've been reading for a couple years right now. And actually has 16 chapters with different authors. Your Bible is book or it's not book? It's book now. That's different authors, and I'm still trying to paint my head around it, you know. And actually, the book is speaking about love, and it's just, I'm just wondering where you started conversations. Altogether. Another way you can start a conversation is around life. And sometimes I just say, I'm just going around asking people questions around life and what their perspective of life is. What do you think about life? Do you believe in life after death? Now, let me give you another method in which I go through that. Right? Do you believe in life after death? This is a very good way to go around that. So that meets some people, right? No matter how, when someone is evidently young, you can know. Evidently old, no matter what. You can also start with, where do you see yourself in 5 years from now? I should be married. Beautiful. After marriage, what's next for you? I want to have kids. Beautiful. After having kids, what's there for you? Say, I just want to grow up and just not take care of my family and just be there for them. Lovely. So you keep pushing, you keep asking them those questions till they get to the point of death. Everybody will get there. Everybody, there's nobody who has not gotten there. So you keep asking them, after this, some will say, I will grow old. Are we together? Oh, after growing old, what's next after growing old? Say, no, I'll just die. Then you start from there. What if I told you there was a life after this life? And I can give you something that can make you rest assured of what will be your state after this life. All together. So you can go through that route again. Yeah? And you now start painting a story. Yeah, sometimes I use a story. I'll give you everything in my head for free. You know, I told you, when I sat down to prepare this note, I poured everything in my head out. Right? I usually give people a story. Imagine a father who had a child, and the child was in school. So this is why it's recorded. Go home and listen again. The father had a child, the child was in school, the father was going around his daily activities. All of a sudden, it was reported that the boy had killed a child, or killed another child, or he had stolen something from his friend. And the police got involved. And what happened? They arrested him. And the declare upon the child's head is that he needs to go to the prison for life. Are we together? And the father comes and says, rather than take my son, take me. And I go to the prison. Fortunately, the government of the country changes and said everybody that was in prison from so and so be released. So it means that by default, you are released, or the father is released. Yeah, so he comes back from the prison. And you ask them the question, who has the right to take that boy back into the prison? No one. Just tell them, someone did that for you. He took your place. He died your death. So that he may have the freedom of his life. What are they to you when you ask? Amen. So you can also call your own story, but if you want to call your story, please, you can share it with me. Let me know your story first. If you think you're not sure of your story, let me hear your story. What is even the man and the boy were in the prison? you call your story, but feel free to share your story with me and let me know your story, because sometimes you might not know the implications of the stories you are sharing, right? And they will not use that story to tackle you. You would have been saying, why did I even start the story? So I just complete the point. So you can pay a compliment, present, then you can also tell some people clearly, I plan to just tell you about the love of God. So if you have 30 seconds, just tell them, I want to let you know that Jesus Christ died for you so that your sins can be forgiven. And anyone who believes in this has eternal life. That's the message of the gospel. Everything we are trying to do is to ensure that we wrap ourselves to be in an engaging conversation with people. Yeah, so I'll pick up on this again next week. Another way again, you can go around it is another place. So we looked at on the streets, right? On the streets, the method used on the streets as well are similar to every other place. So one of the things I wrote here was in the classroom. You are a student, right? One of the best ways to preach is after class. I remember the first person I preached when I came to the UK in 2018, the first group of people I preached to was after my first lecture. Right? And the lecture I just finished, I remember it was competitive strategy. And what happened? I tagged myself with two people and we walked along. From where our class was, I was at Heribos University. Where my class was all the way to the bus stop was a long distance. That was enough for me to preach the gospel. I was talking about competitive strategy. Oh, wow. I look forward to having this course. And in the middle of that, halfway switch the conversation and preach the message of love. Yeah. So a good place to start for a classroom setting is after the teaching. You can do before the teaching, but it's tricky. Because before the teaching, what can happen might be lecturer can come and interject. And the person you wanted to preach to, it doesn't really matter. The person that I want to preach to now can just go and sit down in a place that is close to the door. So the ones that they will come over this class, man, just say, see you in our next class, you'll be looking for him, you will not find him. Yeah, but after class, another good opportunity. Oh, where are you going to? So you can make friends with people, you can start initiating friendships or conversation with people just with the goal of preaching the gospel. Another one I wrote here is around public transports, use of buses, use of trains, use of trams, you know, and how we do have this conversation. So you can sit down beside someone and go on a long journey. I do it sometimes when I'm going on a long journey, maybe it's a 5 hour train journey, right? What happens is I ensure that my first approach in reaching out is the person that is sitting, if the person sits down before I get there, I greet warmly. And let me say this to you as a church gospel palace. You know, it's been a good report in Novotel that we are very warm and welcoming. I beg you, please keep it. It's been a good report that, our pastor is this and this and that, so lovely, warm. Yeah. When you see me the way I relate with people, yeah, in the real sense, there's a reason. That's how I am generally, but you as well as members, don't be known as up face. You can walk around this. You know, you can actually walk out of this door. And the way you greet someone, yesterday I was walking into a mall to preach. And this is a door. I literally could have walked. Open the door and walk. I saw an elderly woman coming. And I intentionally waited behind the door, opened the door. An elderly woman, she's probably in her 70s or 80s. And she ran towards the door. She said, "That's so kind of you." That was my goal, my opportunity to preach the gospel. I won't throw it away. You know, you can just do something very kind and you initiate a conversation. So that's why anywhere I see, I don't enter a plane, I don't fly in the plane and everybody around me is numb to me. No, I'm a human being. If someone is sitting down on your seat, you're addressing on something 22D, you are 22F. You know, you can say hello to someone. "Please, can I go into my seat?" You can be polite with the goal of preaching the gospel. So when I have a 5 hour train trip like that, for instance, I sit down, but my mind have already said, "Oh, sorry, excuse me, how are you?" "Okay, fine, good." Something else will, except you are in that plane to sleep all through. Maybe if you are, you will wake up. Wake up. You will wake up. In those 3-4 little bits of trying to do something kind, saying hello, you have stabilized everything. I remember when I was flying from London to Scotland last week, and so she was scared of turbulence and all those and kind of things, offering you to preach the gospel. So you know what? I'm not scared. I have a life I'm rest assured of. Even though your heart might be vibrating. That might be shaking this train, you know? I'm not scared. And I remember speaking to her and she said, "What?" She was coming to Scotland for a holiday at the time. "What's your thought about life?" You know, life is actually just what a breeze vapor. You talk, use the signs of it. But you must end with this, Jesus. The only way she could listen to me was from the first week. She wanted to put her bag up. And what? I supported. Is that basic? Some of you. I understand you are scared that they may say you are doing something with their property, but I've been doing it. Nobody has accused me. That's the way you would do it. Sometimes I see something I'm supposed to try to help people and I'm like, let me not say I'm trying to do over Sabi. But since I've been doing it, maybe they talk about it on their own. But not to my face. Nobody has told me who sent you. The lady yesterday, she literally was running. "Oh, that's so kind of you." I said, "This guy, sorry, stop. Excuse me. You must look for the, so you learn how to prepare the ground for yourself. Learn how to prepare the ground for yourself. So I'm going to look at that again next week. How you preach in a mall. One of the ways to do it for a mall or for a shop is to patronize them. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm not saying you go out and buy something that you don't want, they cannot afford. Pastor said I should patronize the shop. You go to Balenciaga shop, you go and buy Balenciaga shoe, $1,500. When you don't hear your gospel, you see it's no longer your size. You retort it. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, this particular one works a lot in the partner in Nigeria. Yeah, because an average shop you enter, and there's something you just like, you just pick. And I remember there's somebody my mom started discipling that way. Right? She became a member in church. She's still a member actually, although I think I don't know if she's still in Abuja at the moment. Can you remember for months into years how went to go and patronize the shop? So by the time you go to the shop, buy something, buy the one you can afford. Right? Not the one you go and buy and say, you want to know how I could afford it? You want to know how I can afford it? Afford it in Christ. No. So I'm going to talk about that in details next week. Right? You know, another one I'm going to talk about is preaching to children, preaching to family members. How do you preach to family members? Right? How do you start those conversations? I'll close it. Right? How do you preach to family members? You know, sometimes it differs from pillar to post. Don't be the person who your family don't even see you as responsible. I say, I want to preach the gospel. See, the gospel I preach today, for instance, that we stand for as a church in God's palace. Yeah, it took me time to go back to my parents' house, my father's house, and my family to preach that message. Okay, so when I started preaching the message, it could tell my fervency, because I've always been a fervent, I've always been a fervent Christian boy, so to say. I remember in my 100 level, right, I eat messages like there's a man called Joseph Prince. As of 2011, 12, or thereabout, I had listened to over 350 of his tracks that I knew I had listened, not passively. That's how I used to eat. So anytime I go to school, you know my friend Simon? Yeah. Okay? Sometimes we listen to messages in the middle of the night. So someone used to live on a different wing. I used to live on a different wing. It's a four-story building, or three. Right? They lock the first and the second floor, the door, so that you cannot link between both wings. We listen to messages at 2 a.m., 3 a.m. You see me, I'll stand off my room. I will run from my room. Simon will run from his room. His room is on the ground floor. My room is on the ground floor. He will climb two floors up to cross over to climb down to my room. Let's talk about what we're listening to, what we're hearing. So we listen to that. So anytime I go back home, my parents always saw me as a serious Christian. I've journeyed though. Before I found this truth, I journeyed. But thank God for my sincerity. And what eventually I found the truth, and I'm like, wow, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to stay. Who got you filled? Who got you to speak in tongues? I got my sister filled. I got my younger brother filled in my house. You know, there's a way I'm behaving that they will not receive from me. You want to lay hands on me? I beg. Don't be like that. Don't be like that. Every day they are complaining that you're coming back late. When you come back, your eyes don't look like this. Your eyes always you're coming back home, your eyes always looking at the ceiling. Every time you look down, they see red. So when I say upstairs that Jesus cares about you. Go and care for your life. Then see finish. And let me tell you, see finish can even happen even if you are a devout person. But don't make it easy for them to relegate you. They did see finish for Jesus. Is that not true? Obviously, Jesus went into his own city. They did not receive him. His own Jesus. What bad do you think he would have done? That's human being for you. But don't encourage it. Don't create an avenue for someone to point to you. You that you're always sleeping with different women. You want to tell me that, I beg. No, there's a way you would have a lifestyle that will mirror the message you believe. Are you here? So we'll continue again on Wednesday.